Welcome to Hope's Garden and the Bridegroom Speaks podcast with Laura Ercolino.
Today is June 16th, 2023, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So the theme of our conversation today at Hope's Garden was the most sacred and Eucharistic heart of Jesus and how we can make atonement for all those who do not love and adore his most sacred heart, just through all of our little acts of love and devotion to him. I'm just going to do my best to share this. So one of the things, I think the real theme of his message in the last week has been something that he's been telling me since before I even knew who the roses were, or knew that there was going to be a Hope's Garden. His message has been, tell them they are not alone. Tell them that I suffer with them. And so he's really been taking me deep into the truth that the Eucharist is Jesus, that it is him. It is his body, and that his body is the temple of God. So if we think about this for a minute, a little bit logically, if we receive the Eucharist, we are taking the body of Christ and it is becoming one with us. He no longer just dwells in the Holy of Holies in a building temple. He dwells within each and every one of us. First, by virtue of our baptism, which is our nuptial bath, preparing us to receive his very flesh into our bodies. And what happens when we eat, right? You are what you eat. It is the one flesh, one spirit union with our bridegroom. He becomes a part of us. This is a fact. This is a reality. It doesn't matter if you receive without believing it. This is what happens. He is truth. He is reality. He does not depend on anyone's belief in him. His power doesn't reside in our believing in his power. So everyone who receives is receiving Jesus, flesh and blood, body and soul, into their bodies. He is one with them. This is the nuptial mystery at the heart of the liturgy. So one of the first things he told me in preparation, I'm learning to see patterns, like Father Michael always told me to watch for, right? We look for patterns. Look for patterns in our human relationships because they will tell us who a person truly is, right? Look for patterns in our own behavior because then we can see where we need to grow, where we need to change, where we're doing okay. And look for patterns in the way that the Lord works with you. And I can see that it was actually months ago that he started preparing my heart for what he showed me on the Feast of Corpus Christi. And one of the first ways he prepared me was taking me into this truth that at the heart of the liturgy, it is the spousal mystery, the nuptial mystery. God desires to be one with us. And in Christ, he is. Humanity and divinity are married in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Mary's womb was the marriage hall. Mary's womb is where that wedding took place. On the altar, it takes place again, and that's why Mary is always there, always there. Wherever Christ becomes incarnate, Mary is there. So to live the liturgy, liturgical living, means so much more now to me than just celebrating the feast day. It means so much more than just the colors of the vestments and decorations in our homes. Living the liturgy means to live as his spouse, to live out that spousal mystery in all that we do, to keep in our memory, in our consciousness, that we are one with him, that all that we do, all that we think and say, we do together with Christ. We are living monstrances, bringing his presence into the world. Each and every one of you is truly the Holy of Holies, the temple of God. So then what happens? What happens when we leave church? So this was the hard thing that he showed me on Corpus Christi. He showed me the host, his body and his blood, bruised, beaten, literally black and blue. He reminded me that in his home, in his family, the church, there is betrayal trauma. There is spousal abuse. And he is the betrayed and abused spouse. The words he used at one point, he brought back memories of how I was violated by my spouse. And he let me just feel that pain again, just for a moment. He's kind. Didn't let me go deep down back into it. But he reminded me, because it's not something I think about often anymore. Feels like a lifetime ago. But he reminded me what it felt like to be raped by my spouse. And then he said that this is the pain he endures when those with malice and hypocrisy in their hearts receive him in the Eucharist. This is the pain he feels when his brides who have received him, who are his temple, his dwelling place, who are one with him, are violated. He feels their pain. He is violated with them. And not only does he bear the pain of the victims, he bears the pain of God's heart in the offense of those who abuse, because they have received Jesus and are one with him. And this is the darkness. These are the secrets in Catholic homes that he wants brought into the light. How this pains his sacred heart, that those who profess to love him, to know him, commit these evil acts. When I was in Guadalupe, he told me very, very clearly that marriage is not justification for abuse of any kind. That in fact, it's a greater sin. So of course, my response was a lot of tears and pain. And then just leading with him, then show me, you know, what can I do? Like, how can I love you enough? How can I make enough atonement for all of this? I don't even know how I can atone for what was done in my own home. How can I atone for all of this? And of course, he's, you know, very gentle. And he always just, shh, it's okay. That's not what I'm asking of you, right? You can't. I've already done that. That's the cross. That's the crucifixion. I've already done that. And what he told me was that simply living a life of humble, loving obedience to him is atonement for all those who live lives of disobedience and hypocrisy. Offering him our raisin cakes and apples of devotion and affection, thinking of him with love, that consoles him. That makes atonement. Living lives with integrity, where the love that we profess to have for Jesus is true, and it shows in how we treat others, how we treat ourselves, how we speak, that we are true to him. Praying for those dove eyes. Oh my, the importance of those dove eyes just keeps striking me. To see first myself, to see the truth that he resides in me, he lives in me, he is one with me. How do I treat myself? How do I speak to myself? I'm speaking to Christ. I'm feeding Christ. Or I'm not. It has to begin there. And do I see with dove eyes, with true purity of heart, as St. John Paul II said, true purity of heart is to see as God sees, to see the gift in one another, to see Christ in one another. So my prayer this week has just been pleading with him to guard my heart and my soul, to not allow me to stray from him, not allow me to betray him, and to make me holy. You know, we talk in the Song of Songs, draw me in your footsteps, let us run, right? And St. Bernard, I believe it is, in his commentary on that line, says to Jesus, says to the bridegroom, do whatever it takes. Drag me if you have to. And that's been my prayer. I don't care what it takes. Whatever you must do, draw me into holiness. Make me holy. Because when I receive you, I want to truly be a tabernacle for you. I want to be your temple. I want you to find your place of rest and delight in me, not to cause you any more pain. And I want your truth to shine out from me. I don't want there to be any hypocrisy in me. I want to be like Mary, holy, fully, faithfully, fruitfully devoted to you, that you might find your joy in me and others might receive your joy through me. To be a clear, clean, purified vessel for you. Make me holy. And his response was, tell them. Tell them to desire holiness above all else. Everything else will come and be theirs as they grow in holiness. That the desire for holiness is pure. That is a pure desire of the heart and one that he will satisfy. He will fulfill. Desire holiness above peace, above health, above happiness, above all else. Desire holiness. And ask for dove eyes to see that everything comes from the hands of a loving God who desires your holiness. Everything is meant for your sanctification, first for your soul, for you alone, because God desires your holiness so that he might be completely one with you for all eternity, with no veil, nothing in the way, no obstacles, completely one with the bridegroom for all eternity. That everything that happens here, if we are open to it, if we choose to see with the eyes of Christ, is for our sanctification, for that goal, for our eternal life. So Lord, help us. Help us to accept your will in our lives and show us how to grow in holiness through everything. All that happens is gift for our salvation. All that happens is marriage prep. This is our pre-Cana. All that happens is teaching us how to love him above all else, totally, freely, faithfully, and fruitfully. so we might spend our eternity in the fullness of joy. Help us to see as you see. What beauty there is, even in the cross, when we see as you see. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. May we do all for love of you, and may our every small act of love make just a little drop of atonement for all those who do not love you and adore you. Together, we can make an ocean of love and atonement. Every little act, washing the dishes, changing a diaper, answering a confrontational email, whatever it is, every little act done for him. What a beautiful, enormous bouquet of sweet-scented roses we can offer to the bridegroom if we join our hearts and our lives together in love of him.
For more resources and our consecration to Christ the bridegroom, visit hopesgarden.com, the sanctuary where the spousal love of Christ the bridegroom heals hearts, marriages, and families. You may also want to join our community powered by Mighty Networks. Download the Mighty Networks app and find us at Hope's Garden.